That's MITD 51.
All right. My guess is Blanche Barton. That's Blanche Barton, and she is the former High Priestess of the Church of Satan, as well as now the Chair Mistress of the Council of Nine. She was Anton LaVey's partner in life. I think that's probably a fair way to put it. And of course, you also have a child. Now, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, again, I'm struggling a little bit with this, Blanche, because on the one hand, you sort of lay out Satanism as humanism. But then on the other hand, you'll go down that highway saying, well, yes, magic is certainly real, and much of the paranormal could be real, and certainly I've discussed a great deal of this, and that's kind of where you stop. You don't continue down that road. It seems to me once you've embraced the paranormal and the fact that magic, real magic, can be done, then you have to be looking at a power beyond human power, humanism.
Okay, let's try this.
Okay.
Okay. We start from the position that humans are rational animals. We're animals. That's the seventh, you know, our foundational document is the nine satanic statement. And the seventh, if I may, if you will indulge me,
sure.
Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who because of his divine spiritual and intellectual development has become the most vicious animal of all. And we can see what's happening because of that viciousness to animals all around the world. So we're selfish and short-sighted creatures. But instead of just leaving it at that, I could be an atheist or I could be a humanist, but there's a whole like half of our brain that isn't addressed by atheism or humanism, because in Anton LaVey, for the first time in history, he reconciled the irreconcilable. He reconciled the poetry, the mystery, the magic of being a human being, of writing symphonies, of writing great literature, of having visions in and creating great architecture and creating love, relationships, all of these fantasies that are human, that are a big part of being human. So he fed that into sort of a pomp and mystery of satanic imagery so that we can utilize all the power within us. And I don't see any irreconcilable there at all. The power does not come from an external source. It comes from me. It comes from you. It comes from the other people that are working with me for the same goals. And that is now being quantified, again, getting back to, you know, recent books by Dean Radin and McTaggart and other people. It's now being quantified in a scientific way that there is a group effect when several people, lots of people are concentrating in the same direction at the same time. You know, it does have a measurable effect there. And I don't understand it, and I don't pretend to understand the dynamics of it. I think that scientists will be studying it more and more, but we're storytelling creatures. You know, that's what we do. If some alien came from another planet, imagine how weird it would look that we go to movies, that we watch these little boxes with all these stories on them, that we read these books, and they're all fantasies. They're all stories. Why do we do that? Because we're storytelling creatures, and we gain strength from these metaphors and these images and these practices of various emotions. And we like drama. We like symbols. We like passion. We like rituals and celebrations that bind us together and communicate our group values. And that's all that Satanism is, like any other religion.
Got an atheist that I bring on the show from time to time named Matthew Alper. Very interesting guy. Maybe you heard him one time. Anyway, he wrote a book that I find fascinating, and I would like to describe to you the premise. The book is called The God Part of the Brain. And it basically, I'm not going to do it justice here, but basically it suggests that all human beings, and we include those who are found on otherwise uninhabited islands, you know, natives that worship one thing or another, if you know, the sun perhaps, the moon, the trees, it doesn't matter, that human beings are programmed by something in our brain or some part of our brain that demands that we worship something, that we believe in some sort of deity greater than ourselves. And he thinks that they will eventually identify that part of the brain that causes this. I wonder how you feel about that, because it is true. If you look around the world, everybody, just about everybody, even you, worship something.
Well, that I hesitate with the word worship, except that I worship myself, but I don't worship something external. Just metaphorically, that's a poetic representation of me. You know, that those images are a poetic projection of me. But yeah, I certainly think it's a fascinating study, the God part of the brain. I can definitely see that, because it is a near universal that people like to. And what I've credited to, and I don't think I'm alone in this, is that it's a, and maybe he even includes this part, when we're in nature, when we're trying to survive, when we are in our earliest stages, our brains were developing, our survival depended on seeing patterns, seeing the gestalt, seeing the tiger hidden in the trees. And so we look for patterns and we try to make sense of things. That's what we do all the time. That's the scientific part of our mind, is trying to make sense. And we like things to progress in beginning, middle, end. We like things to be just. We like for good people to get rewarded and bad people to go to a bad place and get punished. We like that. So we tell stories to ourselves that's what's really happening. So yeah, I can see that would be a very interesting study. I would like to read his book.
I thought you might. All right, so I have a computer, and I have this thing called the wormhole, and they can go to a certain place and send me a message as I'm doing a program, and, you know, like right now. And before I read you anything, what would you imagine the response to your being on the program is tonight?
Oh, I think probably people are very happy to talk, to have a real Satanist telling them exactly what Satanism really is. I would imagine, you know, in my mind, that's the way I would like it to be. They say, oh, what an interesting young woman. I really enjoy hearing what Satanism really is. And now when I find out that my boss is a Satanist, I won't be freaked out. Uh-huh. That's probably it.
All right. Well, I would say it's more of a mixture. For example, oh, my God, Art, how can you do this? How can you put on this satanic crap? Click, goodbye. Got somebody scared. And then I've got from, Roman in Indio, California. Absolutely fantastic guest, Art. Very intelligent woman, really enjoying this. So it's either love or hate, Blanche.
Yeah, I can see that. People have that reaction to the Satanic Bible. You know, Anton LaVey said that people will pick up his book and they'll read it and they'll either say, my God, I felt this way all my life, but I didn't know what to call myself. I guess I'm a Satanist. That's exactly the way I feel. Or they, you know, throw the book across the room in disgust. You know, it's one way or the other. And that's fine. That's great. That's the way it should be.
All right, so then why not call yourself a humanist and avoid all of this, you know, everything?
Because that wouldn't be it wouldn't be addressing the essential problem that Satanism, calling it Satanism, represents. You know, Satanism isn't just atheistic; it's anti-theistic, and it's not just a matter of, oh well, okay, so that works for them. Okay, that's fine. But it's not fine. People who are running our country, that are running our world, all around the world, most of them are basing their lives on irrationality and muddled thinking and scapegoating. And these people are leading us in certain directions, economically, socially, ecologically. And it's going to affect you. One way or another, it's going to affect you. And so Satanists, by nature, choose active opposition. You need something constructive for your life, not just a denial of something like atheism.
Choose active opposition. So is it called Satanism only to choose having that opposition?
I think it's to recognize that humans, I see Satan as a quintessentially human metaphor. He's the risk taker. He's the underdog. He's the one who triumphs, even though he's vilified. He's the solitary romantic figure, and it's a human. It's humans, not Jesus hanging on the cross and being nice to everybody. It's we've fallen from grace, both of us. Satan and humans have fallen from grace because of our self-determination and our pride. And instead of sniveling and whining, we stumble forward by our own wit and our resourcefulness, and we create whatever life we can with the people that we love and cherish.
Are there sins in Satan?
Yes. Yes, there are, actually. strange you should ask that.
How about commandments? Got commandments?
Our nine satanic statements written in published in the Satanic Bible are codifying statements.
Codifying.
I would say.
So you really sound like a lawyer.
You know what the final ninth satanic statement is? I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm listening.
Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had, as he's kept it in business all these years.
Yeah, well, there is that, isn't there? It is the ultimate threat that keeps everybody in line.
Yeah, exactly. And why do you have to have a loving God that strong-arms people into doing good?
Well, God, I mean, historically, has a temper.
Well, you know, but...
He's struck people down. Destroyed cities.
You're a kid, and you're getting shoveled this stuff from your parents. You know, they're telling you about this guy. Where does he live? I don't know. He lives in a cloud somewhere. We've got the space station up there, but they can't see him. Well, he lives more over that way. You know, I don't know what he looks like. And kids are smart. You know, they start asking questions pretty early on, and they understand when someone's avoiding the truth, and when they start feeling that mommy and daddy are not telling them the truth about this, then they start calling into question everything that mommy and daddy tells them.
Well, you are right. If you ask the wrong questions, even in Sunday school, you risk ejection.
Right. But how do you feel about mommy and daddy lying to you?
Well, I don't think I blame mommy and daddy that I would say they're lying, because they probably carry that belief that they're passing on.
Well, I don't see how any child can get past that. That's when the trouble comes. That's when you reach adolescence and you start realizing that maybe a lot of what you've been taught is not true. And all of those sacred values, maybe they're not real. And so, and when you link ethics to the supernatural, that God tells you to do this, not because it's right or wrong, not because essentially it's good for civilization for you to make these decisions, but because some supernatural guy in a, you know, with a long white beard is strong-arming you and threatening you if you don't do right, then that's not good for society. You know, that's not a good structure. That's not a good foundation. It should be, because this is what is right for the world. This is how we bind together as a human race, you know?
If the world were to suddenly embrace Satanism, do you think that there would be far less violence, killing, and just this? We're seeing so much. For example, people walk into movie theaters and just begin shooting and then take their own life.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. Do you think that Satanism would calm some of this down?
I would hope that people of a satanic mind would be more... would understand the necessity of getting along with their fellow human animals. I wake up in the morning and I say, I will not kill someone today, because I don't want to be killed. You know, I can tolerate a lot.
You have to remind yourself not to do that?
I do, yes. But really, I mean, I think if the world were suddenly, you know, filled with Satanists, which is never, ever going to happen, because, again, you know, talking about different parts of the brain, we always have to have the you know, 2% who are the leaders or the innovators or the risk takers, and the rest of the people that really would rather just get along and not think about things very much. You know, just tell me what to do, tell me where to go, tell me what to buy, and I'll be comfortable, and you tell me what to do. And that, you know, but the Satanists who stand out, the creative people, the eccentric people, the weirdos, I think that they would be better at running things because they would hopefully have actual discussions, not ad hominem attacks. They would start talking about things, not pigeonholing themselves and saying, well, I'm a conservative, so I have to vote this way, or I'm a liberal, so I have to vote that way, and that's a bad person over there. The Koch brothers are awful or evil, or the unions are awful or evil because they're in the other camp, and I don't have to listen to anything they have to say. I just have to listen to what my party tells me to do.
Right.
And that's how we've gotten into the trouble that we have.
All right.
Is because people aren't voting. They aren't voting the issues or the man. They're voting according to their party
affiliation. All right. Hold it right there. We're at a break. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight. Enjoy.
Son of a fool, don't see trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. Once in her life, she musters a smile for his nostalgic tale. Never coming near what you wanted to say, only to realize it never really was. She
Alan Greenspan, perhaps the best informed market insider, is warning investors something big is coming. Greenspan's comments about the dollar, inflation, and gold defy the liberal media and shock the markets. He said, the fall of the dollar is inevitable. Time to take action is now. The cost of living for the average family could skyrocket. The value of your savings, IRA or 401k, could be cut in half, and the price of gold could double. Call Lear Capital at 800-218-9061 for an exclusive review of Alan Greenspan's comments and your free guide to protecting your savings, IRA, or 401k with gold. Don't wait. Call 800-218-9061 now for the free Greenspan review and IRA guide. Then ask how you can get up to a $500 cash bonus when you roll over a portion of your existing IRA or 401k into a Lear Capital Gold IRA. No obligation. Call 800-218-9061. That's 800-218-9061. I love talking about legends, and the CC Radio 2E is an absolute legend, in my opinion, as a matter of fact. This radio will let you hear radio stations that other radios don't even know exist. That's how good it is. The CC 2E is the best in AM, the best in FM, the best all around. It'll let you hear your favorite station with much more clarity. The 2E brings in stations clearer and can knock out interference from other sources, which means it has steep skirts. You're going to have to look that one up, probably. Sound from the 2E is absolutely impeccable. I'd like you to try the CC Radio 2E. It's got the power, the strength to bring in signals better, and that's what you want in a radio. Trust me, my good friends at Sea Crane can do it. Call them at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Would you partake of that last offered cup? Or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around.
To initiate a dialogue sequence with Art Bell, please coordinate your phalanges at call 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952. Call Art.
Well, all right. Blanche Barton is my guest. She was the High Priestess of the Church of Satan, and she is now the Chair Mistress of the Council of Nine. Blanche, welcome back. I would like to, if you don't mind, circle back. We sort of went right over it. What are some satanic sins?
Satanic sins. The first one, you will not be surprised to know. The first one is stupidity. That's the top of the list. Because humans are, as I say, tend to be very short-sighted and selfish creatures. I'm all for selfishness, but when you are so short-sighted that you don't see the consequences of what you're doing and the long-term consequences to the earth and to other humans and to animals, then that's just being stupid. And
a lot of those sinners out there.
Yeah. And the second one is pretentiousness. Empty posturing. It's very irritating. And we, you know, Anton LaVey always had the idea that if you're a satanic priest, you should be able to take the garbage out, you know. you have to be able to come up with the goods, ultimately. And he, you know, that's what made his philosophy so strong, what makes his philosophy so strong, because he was a very genuine person. Whenever he would start, when he'd have someone come over, a lot of times they'd want to talk about Satanism. He didn't want to talk about Satanism all the time. He'd want to talk about old movies or cars or guns or music or characters. And, you know, people were not disappointed because he was a wonderful raconteur and a fabulous musician. So if you were treated to an evening of music with him, you'd walk away very happily. But he would say these things, and when he sounded a little bit pompous or pontifical or as he perceived himself to be taking himself too seriously, he'd undercut it with a joke. He had a whole repertoire of jokes, and that was one of the books that I wish he had been able to put together before he passed away, was a book of satanic parables, which would have been all of his favorite jokes.
Okay. While we're on that subject, and I want more sins, but while we're on the subject, it now has been 50 years since the Church of Satan began, and 20 years since Anton died in 97. So an obvious question is, how's the church doing without Anton?
Well, that's a very good question, actually, because we would have no way of knowing. You know, he was the founder, he was the progenitor. Was this just a personality cult, or did he create a philosophy with legs that actually can stand on its own and lead people to greater interesting achievements and interesting things? And I think the answer is that we're doing great. We've got more members all the time. We've got more adherents all the time. We're being productive. We're getting things moving and shaking in the world. He was a very strong leader.
Do you proselytize? I mean, obviously you are doing that in a sense tonight. But I'm inviting that. But you don't knock on doors and hand out pamphlets. So how does the word get around?
Well, it's the tradition of the left-hand path is that you have to seek it out. It is a singular path, and it's a dangerous path. And so there are a lot of imitators out there. There are potholes along the road. But if you're drawn to Satanism and you like the metaphors and you like what you've heard of Satanism, if you find it intriguing, then, you know, we have the website, churchofsatan.com. It's a portal for all the activities that a lot of Satanists are doing right now around the world. And it's got a lot of materials on there for what Satanism is and isn't.
You said it was a dangerous path.
It is a dangerous path.
Why?
Yes, it is. Because it's a singular path, and it will lead you into...
Yes.
It will lead you as close as you can get to madness. What I mean by that is, if you are inculcated with Satan is evil, Satanists are evil all your life, and you step into that world and you're not ready for it, then your very fear will act against you. You will conjure forth, because the whole idea is that we're conjuring things, we're conjuring, we're focusing our energy on what we want to achieve. But you can undercut yourself, you can actually hurt yourself, and if you're feeling guilty or you're feeling afraid or if there's any residual ill feelings, and this is purely psychological, this isn't magical, this is psychological. When someone is doing something that deep down inside they're conflicted about, you can manifest it physically with pain, aches, headaches, stomach upset, and drawing all kinds of terrible things into your life. So it's not for everybody. As I say, it's a particular vibration that people find brings them joy, happiness, and inspiration. But if you don't find that from Satanism, run away and run away fast.
You know what a Ouija board is, right?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think a Ouija board per se is dangerous, but I had a very, very bad experience with one that I will not discuss and never have publicly. I think that it is the intent of the users of that board that brings about some of the bad experiences that people have had. What do you think?
I'd say you're definitely on the right track with that. I would also say that, as I was trying to explain, if you have any residual doubts or fears or guilt, that's a good medium for those things to open up to you and start attacking you. But again, not from something outside. You're conjuring it for yourself.
Well, now be careful. Yes, perhaps you are conjuring it, but you at the same time admit there is something outside.
I admit that we create conduits for our own achievements and creating our own goals as we move through life magically, yes.
All right. Some more sins. We've got two: stupidity, pretentiousness.
The third is solipsism. That means expecting everybody else to be like you are. You're a moral person, an ethical person. You have certain values. You're vulnerable to somebody that comes along and tries to steal your money because he doesn't have the same values, but he might give you a wonderful line to try to convince you to part with your goods. So you have to be on guard. That's the essence of solipsism.
Okay.
You have to be constantly vigilant and look through illusions that people are trying to, you know. It's very Machiavellian.
Good advice, though. Anything else that would catch our attention?
Oh, let's see. Self-deceit, herd conformity, then the last one is lack of aesthetics. You know, that's just a terrible sin.
Lack of aesthetics.
Yes.
Meaning?
That's right. Well, it's part of lesser magic, really. It's a way of applying aesthetics. And again, it does evoke a certain magic. Anton LaVey had certain theories.
Yes, that's again the break. Here we are at the bottom of the hour. So relax. We're going to open the phones pretty soon. So everybody out there, get ready for that. I'll get the numbers for you. I'm Art Bell.
I've been red in the closet, can't think of you. Autumn in circles, confusion is nothing new. Much better than one night, almost left me. Suitcase of memories, time left and sometimes.
For Dark Matter News, I'm Leo Ashcraft. An ABC News reporter believes that she captured a ghost on camera. She posted the footage on ABC News affiliate WGNO's website this week. Reporter Vanessa Balana was doing a segment about haunted locations at the Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana, when something strange happened on screen for her. Back at the television station while viewing footage shot at the plantation, she says she noticed that they may have captured one of the Myrtles' supernatural residents flying through her shot. As Balana reviewed the video, she noticed what appeared to be a spirit flying past her. She recorded her segment in the French Room, a room said to have the most paranormal activity on the property. The Myrtles Plantation has been said to be one of the most haunted houses in the United States. Was this in fact a ghost or a Louisiana love bug? Watch the video at WGNO.com. Not far from the spot where Opportunity landed on Mars sits a large basin that looks a lot like the salt flats seen on our own planet. According to a new study out this week in geology, this location may have been home to one of the final lakes to exist on Mars before the red planet turned into the dry desert world that we see today. The chloride salt deposit located in the Meridiani region measures about 46 square miles, or the size of a small city. A team led by Brian Hinnick from the University of Colorado Boulder wanted to know how salty the lake would have been and how recently it existed, which would tell us important clues about the habitable history of Mars. So they combined the mineral analysis from Mars orbiters and digital mapping of the terrain in the area. The lake, they found, would have been no older than 3.6 billion years, putting it at the tail end of the period when liquid water would have flowed across the Martian surface. Hynek says this was a very long-lived lake, and we were able to put a very good time boundary on its maximum age. He says we can be pretty certain that it is one of the last instances of a sizable lake on Mars. Based on the depth and thickness of the salt left behind, the team estimated that the one-time lake would have been only about 8% as salty as the Earth's ocean. They say that its low salinity means that it could have been habitable at one time. This could have been one of the last potential habitable watery places on the surface of Mars. Dark Matter News.
Hi, I'm Gene Neal Shulman, a longtime listener of Art Bell. I've also written a dozen books, a Twilight Zone episode, and made two movies. My first novel, Alongside Night, came out in 1979 with a book endorsement from Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman, who praised it for its disturbing resemblance to past history and future possibilities. Many others, including Glenn Beck, Ron Paul, and Alex Jones, have celebrated my novel for its futuristic vision of America collapsing from too much government. Now I've put my novel on the screen as a futuristic action movie. It stars Kevin Sorbo, TV's Hercules, and star of God's Not Dead. To see a vision where freedom's not dead, buy the 3-disc Blu-ray DVD combo pack of my movie Alongside Night. It's $16.95, including shipping and handling. You can buy it online right now at Area51Movies.com, or after 9:30 a.m. Eastern, phone 800-527-2375. Again, buy online now at Area51Movies.com, or after 9:30 a.m. Eastern at 800-527-2375. Thank you.
A geologist said that he had predicted the EPA would intentionally poison Animas River a week before its toxic spill. Last week, the Environmental Protection Agency spilled over 1 million gallons of toxic waste into the Animas River in Colorado. This is, of course, ironic, considering the fact that the EPA is the government organization that typically prosecutes people for crimes against the environment. And in this case, some say the EPA has declared that they are above the law and free from any type of fines or prosecution. The waste was spilled from an abandoned mine shaft and has now contaminated large stretches of water and connecting rivers that reach into various bordering states. Over 3 million gallons of wastewater containing a number of toxic chemicals is now destroying untold miles of precious waterways. Geologist Dave Taylor wrote a letter to the editor in the Silverton Standard, pointing out that the EPA was planning a maneuver that could potentially cause toxins from mine shafts to flood into rivers. He also suggested that the EPA was aware of the possible outcomes and were going forward with the plan to gain funding. In the letter, Taylor wrote, "But make no mistake, within 7 days, all of the 500 gallon per minute flow will return to Seaman Creek. Contamination may actually increase. The grand experiment, in my opinion, will fail." I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
Evil has a new name, The Circle. 1959 Russian Mummies, 9 deaths. It's the greatest unsolved mystery, and now through your contribution on Kickstarter.com, the truth will be revealed in The Circle, a paranormal thriller from an award-winning director based on true events. Go to Kickstarter.com and search The Circle and donate today. Your contribution will expose the truth about 9 brutal student deaths at the Fiat La Paz. Again, go to Kickstarter.com, search The Circle, make history, jump into The Circle.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Listen, you're a guy, I'm a guy. You have a wife, I have a wife. You have an ex-wife, I have an ex-wife. And when you try to buy him something, you screw up, just like I screw up. It's because we got that male chupacabra in our brains. But the answer is simple. HelloHoliday.com. Go there. Anything you buy, your wife will love. So buy her something at HelloHoliday.com. Or at the least, send her the link. East of the Rockies, Hello Holiday.
Have you heard about the new superfood Arctic Chaga? Arctic Chaga has been used for its health-building powers by Arctic natives for centuries. Natural Arctic Chaga tea is a powerful antioxidant with 25 times more antioxidants than blueberries. Chaga is extensively documented for numerous health benefits, such as anti-aging, anti-inflammation, greater energy, and is shown to improve arthritis, cardiovascular health, indigestion, anxiety, and stress. Chaga has been recognized by the Medical Science of Moscow and the Japanese Cancer Society as an anti-cancer agent, and has been shown to diminish the side effects of chemotherapy. In order to learn more about Arctic Chaga, the king of Chaga products, go online to ArcticChaga.com. Arctic Chaga is sold as an herbal supplement and makes no medical claims. Available in tea bags, raw ground, and liquid extract. Call 1-866-491-8595. That's 1-866-491-8595. For your greatest health and energy, order online at ArcticChaga.com. That's ArcticChaga.com. Order now.
Tonight is Blanche Barton, and it is evoking many comment, that's for sure. Blanche was the High Priestess of the Church of Satan. She is the Chair Mistress of the Council of Nine, and we have been discussing Satanism. It may well be that your view of Satanism, or what you thought you were going to hear tonight, is not what you're hearing tonight. You may be surprised pleasantly, or you may be scared. It's hard to say. I think there's a lot of both out there, frankly. Blanche, have you ever regretted being Satanist?
Not one moment. I've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, and that's an interesting thing, talking about 50 years of the Church of Satan. And one of the questions is, does it act as a religion should? Does it help you guide your life to prosperity and happiness? Does it help you work within a community? Is it just, you know, put on black clothes, listen to heavy metal music, Marilyn Manson, and piss off your parents or something? Or is it something that can actually lead you through getting a job, going to school, having children, raising children, deaths, births? Yes, it does. And it's a foundation for a lot of people who have been lifelong Satanists now. And the most gratifying thing that happens to me sometimes now, and I'm humbled by it, is when people come up to me and they say, you know, Miss Barton, I've read your books. I was a teenager. I was being rebellious. I went to Satanism, and I found out what it really was, and it really changed my life. And now I'm a successful attorney, or, you know, video producer, or, you know, whatever they're doing with their lives. But they've made a life for themselves. They're married, they're not married, they have children, you know, they're happy. And that's very gratifying.
All right. Are you ready to talk to the public?
Oh, absolutely, anytime.
It should be an interesting experience. All right, on Skype is Matt, Hello, Matt. You're on the air with Blanche Barton.
Blanche Barton, sorry.
Okay, back away from your mic a little. You're too loud.
Is that better?
A little better, yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, Art, I have to say, tonight's show is very controversial, which makes for excellent radio.
Well, look, I'm not afraid of anything. I'll talk about anything that's interesting, and this clearly is so.
All right, well, Blanche, first of all, I'd like to say I greatly admire your conviction to your beliefs. Obviously, it requires a lot of bravery and a tough skin.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, there are two topics I'd like to bring into the conversation. Number one, a little thought experiment. Hypothetically, if there was an evil cosmic entity, not necessarily the devil per se, but let's say in the very nature of the cosmos, there is a being that is pure evil, would it not be that the best way for it to gain followers and supporters to do its will, to convince its supporters that what they're doing is actually for themselves, if that makes sense?
It does.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and you're not the first person that has presented that idea, you know, that the devil is ultimately, you know, the liar, so you can't believe anything he says. But again, I use it as a metaphor for life. I use it representative of liberty, and if there was an evil, an absolute evil entity, and you could bring me proof that there was such an evil entity that was somehow fogging my mind, then that would be a very valuable thing to do. But maybe this creature that you're talking about, you know, it could be God, just the same. You know, it could be someone like God who's got these people under their control, under his control, and these humans are giving me all this energy, and I make them worship me, and it doesn't matter to them. I've got it worked so that there's this other guy that I blame all the bad stuff on, and if they worship me and they give me energy, then I get stronger, and you know, it doesn't matter if I kill lots of kids or make people hate each other or kill lots of animals, they'll still love me. So, you know, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, it's a thought experiment that doesn't go very far for me.
Okay, that's a fair answer. And you expressed that you admired cultural and industrial trailblazers, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, you might know that many businesses, like, for example, Apple, you know, in California, they're practicing mindfulness and meditation, which is principles of Eastern religions, belief systems that promote separation from the ego. Now, it seems that your beliefs are sort of contrasting that it's self-worship and, I guess, reinforcement of the ego.
Mm-hmm. What exactly, a lot of attachment going on here.
A lot of attachment going on, she said.
There is evidence that meditation and mindfulness can increase productivity. And what are your, do you believe in karma? Do you believe in reincarnation? Is there even the possibility of such things?
That's a lot. Karma, I would suspect so. But let's ask. You believe in karma?
Well, I hope that there are consequences. I think that the way we perceive it is you're asking for the consequences that you get out of life. You conjure forth what you get. So, yeah, there are definitely consequences for the actions that you take. As far as getting back to your idea about meditation and consciousness,
yeah.
Yes, definitely. Strengthening your own mind, strengthening your body, being able to use yoga and strengthening the energies that flow through us. I personally am a great follower of that, and I think a lot of Satanists are, that we're bioelectrical beings, And if we can concentrate that, again, that's what magic is about, is concentrating our energies, aligning ourselves with our true core, and being able to release, bring in energy from around us and release it appropriately.
Okay, well, so as I've listened to the interview, you think there is something to karma, but if there isn't, there is a spell that'll take care of it, right?
Yeah, we take care of that.
Yeah, all right.
We're sort of the cleanup team.
You also asked about reincarnation.
I have, again, my mind is open to reincarnation, quite frankly.
Really?
Because personally,
really,
I have had really? Some interesting experiences along those lines, like you with the Ouija board. I don't need to go into them. But my mind is open to a lot of things. You know, like Lewis Carroll said, I try to believe three unbelievable things before breakfast, you know.
Wow, your mind is open to reincarnation. That's a path unto itself. All right, here's something Donnie sends on the computer. Donnie and Sedalia, ask your guest about Anton LaVey's deathbed confession and accepting Jesus Christ on his deathbed. It's all over YouTube and the internet. So if the Church of Satan, if this is true, the Church of Satan is bunk.
Well, there you go. I am here to tell you that I was present in those final moments, and there was no deathbed confession. There was no hallelujah, I see it all now. There was no, oh my God, please forgive me. He had become more determined and more committed to his philosophy as he grew older, because he saw the way that the world was going, and he knew that he needed to be a voice for that.
Okay, so Terry, somewhere out there, you're on the air with Blanche. Where are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you. Where are you?
I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, no, you're on the wrong line then. That's our international line, my friend.
I did Skype.
Right, I'm very sorry. You'll have to give us a call at MITD51, MITD51 for North America. You are on 55. Let's try Lewis on North American Skype. Hello, Lewis.
Good evening. My questions are not judgmental, but just factual. Is the Church of Satan recognized by the federal government for a tax exemption? And I'm curious if they're convicted of a crime and they're put in prison, do they get any special treatment? And finally, would she call herself a witch? I missed that, if she said so. Those are my
questions. That's a lot of questions. Hold on. Don't go away.
Sure.
Let's get answers.
Okay, the first question, yes, we are recognized as a religious entity by the United States government. We're included in the Chaplain's Guide to Military, to chaplains servicing military people, and that's updated periodically. However, we do not take advantage of our tax-exempt status, because one of our premises, vital premises, is that all churches should be taxed appropriately like any other business. So, as an ethical point, we do pay taxes. The second question was...
In some sense, it's probably answered by the first. That is, if necessary, if you were put in jail, for example, you would get special treatment in terms of accommodating your practices. It sounds like if you're in the first, you're probably in the second. I don't know that as a fact.
We do have prisoners who contact us who say they're having trouble getting materials, and they do try to provide, you know, it depends on the chaplain at the particular prison and the administrators of the particular prison. Some of them are very open. They should have the right to practice Satanism, at least get together with fellow Satanists and have their materials and perhaps rituals within the confines of the requirements of the prison. You know, they can't have daggers and they can't have firearms. They can't have candles or certain things. But, you know, just getting together to read the Satanic Bible, usually most prisons are very accommodating. And yes, I would call myself a witch. I do.
Well, thank you for answering my questions. Thank you, Mr.
Sure.
Bell.
Thank
right,
you,
sure. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. We have so many. Let's go to way back to West
we need
Virginia.
To practice it in jail.
Hello?
Yes.
You're on the air, sir.
Art, you know, we've been talking about a lot of positive things about Satanism, but let's talk about satanic ritual abuse for a second.
Okay, let's.
In the 80s especially, there was a lot of cases dealing, you know, the, we mentioned the government-related daycares and the military bases daycares. There was a lot of children that came out of there with STDs. And we were talking about the military. And, you know, while we're talking about Satanism, while we're talking about the military, let's bring up, you know...
Well, all right, let's deal with one at a time. One at a time, right?
Yeah, of course.
Satanic ritual abuse of children. That was addressed earlier, but Blanche, go ahead.
Yes. The McMartin preschool case, I believe one of the cases that he's referring to, was one of the most expensive and perhaps to date still the most expensive and extensive court case in California history. A lot of accusations were thrown around, including that the kids were moved during the rituals, that there were that some of them said they'd been put naked into a cage with a lion, and Chuck Norris was identified as one of their molesters. They said that they had their faces smeared with feces and blood and urine, and that they'd seen babies cooked and eaten, and backhoes were brought in, heavy machinery was brought in. All of this was supposed to have taken place in tunnels beneath the preschool by the people that were running the preschool. No tunnels were found, no lions were found. The most damning evidence that was found was toy rabbit ears and a candle. And I know that there was a lot of hysteria, but there were a lot of people going on shows to get attention.
I remember this, sir, don't you? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. But, you know, I want to go deeper than that. Let's go deeper. I've studied a lot into occultism. There is power. And, you know, even going back to, you know, that's why anal sex, anal wings.
All right, there is power in what? There is power in what?
There's
abuse?
Power in the blood, yeah, the blood of children, the blood of ritual human sacrifice.
Let's find out. Hold on. Let's find out. Thank you for the call. That's a pretty key point, I think, to address. He's saying there is power in abuse or in sacrifices or in... What about it, Blanche? Is there anything to it?
Well, this, again, was addressed quite keenly in the Satanic Bible, and I think it was a reaction to what Anton LaVey found with practitioners, or at least legends about practitioners of magic up until that point. And he was disgusted by the idea that someone would take an innocent animal, even Aleister Crowley talked about animal sacrifice, and that someone would take an innocent animal and shed its blood to try to get some kind of power from that animal, when the truth of the matter is it's a substitute for a good orgasm. If you can't go into the ritual chamber and have a good orgasm, work yourself up into a real frenzy and let go of all that energy, let go of all your inhibitions and become a real human being in the ritual chamber, you have no business trying to perform magic at all.
Okay, straight on. So that was all ridiculous.
Well, it was proven by the FBI to be ridiculous. A lot of people, a lot of police, cops for Christ is what they were termed, who had these seminars that they were selling to various police forces around the country to try to gain money from them. There were also a lot of counselors, religious or otherwise, that were getting a lot of money. And there were the talk show people who needed eccentric people to go on their shows and make a good controversial story. So everyone was gaining, except the real Satanists, you know, who would try to go on these shows to get another word in edgewise. They didn't give me the kind of time that you've been kind enough to give me, Mr. Bell. When we would get on, if we would even get on to tell what Satanism was really about, we'd get maybe two sentences, and the rest of the show would all be about baby breeders or a lot of insanity.
No.
So we didn't fit the paradigm. And then they tried to, as a defense for that, they said, well, you know, they didn't want to get sued by us. So they'd say, well, we're not talking about you. We're talking about bad Satanists. We're talking about traditional Satanists. Or they tried to make it into categories. And Anton LaVey said, no, there are Satanists and then there are nuts, just like there are Christians and then there are nuts. You know, you can use the Easter Bunny, you can use Jesus, you can use Buddha to justify whatever crimes you want, but that doesn't mean that you're actually following that religious philosophy.
All right, very quickly, Leonard on Skype. You're on the air with Blanche.
Yeah, I call to disagree with Blanche. She says that God makes you do what he wants, or do his will. No, God gives you freedom of choice. You can make your own choice. God doesn't force you to do what he wants you to do.
Well, he threatens you.
No,
he threatens you with eternal damnation and a fiery pit if you don't follow the rules, right?
He doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
Actually, he does.
I've heard the wrong stories.
Satan is the one that makes you do things. That's the one that makes you do things.
So in other words, anything you do that's bad, you can just sort of slough that off on Satan.
And that's the problem with scapegoating. That's the essence of what we're trying to get across here,
yeah.
Is that when you scapegoat people, like some people are doing in the Middle East right now, then you can go do whatever you want to them, and they don't deserve your empathy, they don't deserve your sympathy, because they are unclean, and they are demonic, and they are possessed, and they are evil. So you can hurt them, and you can demonize them, and you can scapegoat them, and do whatever you want to them, because they are the others. That's very dangerous thinking. It's not an us versus them. I'm a human being, you're a human being, Leonard, and we all have foibles, we all have faults, we all have strengths.
All right.
And we have to get together to find out how to get together, how to solve problems.
All right, good. Hold it right there. We'll be right back. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert. Whitley Strieber is the legendary author of Communion, Transformation, The Grays, Superstore with Art Bell, and so many more. You can find out more on his author website, Strieber.com. Get his great new Journey to Dog Heaven, his classics, The Wolfen, Transformation, rarities like The Wild, and so many more. Strieber.com. And join Whitley on his Facebook group, Supernatural. Follow him on Twitter, Whitley Strieber, author of Wonder.
Berkey is your premier source for purified water. The Berkey light system is portable and requires no water pressure, electricity, or plumbing. You can enjoy healthy drinking water during normal times and even during unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. That's because this portable system can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, rivers, and stagnant ponds. This unique system removes foul taste and odors like that rotten egg, smell of sulfide, as well as organic chemicals, pharmaceuticals, viruses, bacteria, cysts, and parasites, and it reduces unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the healthful minerals that your body needs. And take the power of Berkey with you when you leave your home with a Sport Berkey. Get the Berkey light system along with two Sport Berkey bottles, a $310 value for only $268 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Save $42 now by asking for the Art Bell special. That's toll free, 888-803-4438. Get available in Iowa.
Hi, I'm Megan Hunt. As a lifetime Art Bell listener, I grew up learning how to think outside the box. That's why I started Hello Holiday, to offer unique, fresh, and delightful clothes for the most fascinating girls in the room. Now, guys, don't tune out. This is your chance to impress your girl. It's a vintage-inspired dress. It's an exclusive handmade bag. It's a one-of-a-kind screen-printed t-shirt that you can't find anywhere else. You're an Art Bell listener, too. So think outside the big box and support U.S.-made design at HelloHoliday.com.
StreamGuys. StreamGuys is a leading provider of streaming media services while offering